I'm Colin Zenobia, and I'm here with Jamil McLaurin, the planning pastor of Ascend Church, a life-giving church that's coming to Royal Oak in the spring of 2018. Jamil, thank you for being with me. We're glad that you'd be able to sit down with us. I just have a few questions on you and kind of how you came to the area and decided to start this church.
Gotcha. Well, so I'm originally from Columbus, Indiana, just about 45 minutes south of Indianapolis. And when I graduated from college, actually in Indianapolis, I was really kind of searching for what my next step was. And at the time, the pastor that I serve here in Michigan called my home pastor in Indiana and made a connection. And we met and connected in Indiana. Actually, he came and spoke at our home church. And then he invited me to come do an internship here. And it worked out well, and here we are.
That's awesome. So how many years have you been in Sterling Heights?
Yeah, so I think this summer would make it 5 years. This summer will make it 5 years.
Yeah. Right, so just to clarify, Jamil is currently the administrative director for Sterling Heights, First Church of Sterling Heights, pastored by Harold Hoffman. Mm-hmm. And so Jamil, you've been here for that long, and now you're starting this church. What inspired you? I know this is kind of a big question, but what inspired you to look into starting a second campus?
Yeah. So, you know, me being a person who lives life through a biblical worldview, I do believe that God is alive and, you know, and speaks to people and presses things on people. And so I definitely start there, and I just felt in prayer that I just felt like it was something that God wanted me to do. And if I had to go to the why behind, you know, that city and why another church, here's what I would say is that, you know, over 60% of millennials are walking away from God at the highest rate recorded in history. And that's one of the whys behind, I believe, starting new churches, because they're actually over 60% more likely to go to a new church. The psyche of our generation is that they don't like the establishment. They don't want to go to anything that's been around too long. They want to go to something that has a fresh voice, a fresh sound. And I believe that you know, starting new churches is the most effective way to reach a generation that's really walking away from God. And I think if we don't do that effectively, we're going to then miss Generation Z that's coming up behind the millennials. And so I think it's kind of an urgent matter to not change the message of what the church has got to be about, but change the method and make it more effective to reach the coming generations. And so I think that's why planting a church is so important. And really for us, that the particular brand or the particular sound that I think we bring to the table is that we're going to be a church for ordinary people. We're not going to be a church that's all about trying to find the biggest and the brightest and the best, although we're open to everybody. Our vision is to see ordinary people rise in Christ and live an elevated life. And what that means for me is I believe that, you know, rising in Christ through baptism and really having a transformational experience with God is so important. And then after that, you know, walking an elevated life with God towards heaven is what, you know, the particular brand of church planting that we're doing is all about. And I think there's a lot of ordinary people just like me out there that don't feel so special. But I just believe there's a really special God that wants to reach those people. So.
Great. How did you come to choose the specific city of Royal Oak? I know there's a lot. This is DC Metro Detroit. There's a lot of cities. There's a lot of places close. How did you come to Royal Oak?
Yeah. So again, it goes back to my biblical worldview. Most of my stories are going to start in prayer, and honestly, you know, in prayer, I felt. I actually had a kind of an incredible experience. I was praying and that phrase, you know, started church in Royal Oak came to my mind. And the funny thing is at the time, I didn't know, much about the city. I had been to Birmingham, Royal Oak, Ferndale, that area, that kind of, they all kind of are around Woodward and are very similar. And I didn't know much about the city, but I really felt, and I felt this kind of God connection that that was the city for us. So after I started researching it, it started making a ton of sense why Royal Oak. First of all, a church of our belief system, I like to call it, was in that city, was the biggest church in that city over 50 years ago. And unfortunately, that church doesn't exist anymore. But I just always kind of believed that that city was a city that our particular brand of church could be really effective in based on the history of the city. And then secondly, you know, the city, right now, the average age of a homeowner in that city is about 34 years old. Right now, the city is becoming increasingly diverse. It's young. It's multicultural. You know, it's over 80% Caucasian, but really growing in diversity. And there's a subset of the city that hangs out in the coffee shops and the restaurants there that aren't necessarily indicative of who lives there. So I think there's kind of a dual demographic in the city. And I really think that it's perfectly primed for a church that's spirit-filled, that's life-giving, a church that is for everybody. And so I think it's just kind of the perfect timing. And I always like to bring this up, is that, you know, I think with what Dan Gilbert's doing in downtown Detroit, you know, really building the city back up, I think it's creating new spaces and opportunities where people are moving back into the city, and there's a lot of people that are working in downtown Detroit. They're settling in these suburbs, and they're growing tremendously. And I think, you know, anytime there's a new population, people in transition, it's always a great place for a new church.
Yeah. So you mentioned Dan Gilbert. He's mm-hmm. he's another planning pastor of a church, right? Correct. That's come to Detroit. Is that
No. So I should specify that. So Dan Gilbert is he is the guy who owns the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, okay.
He also owns Quicken Loans and a conglomerate of companies. And so he opened up in Detroit about 10 years ago, pretty much, for all intents and purposes, bought the city.
Yeah.
And he's been developing the city kind of block by block with his team of people. And so he's been, with all the new job opportunities that their companies are opening up, it's really drawing people to Metro Detroit.
So you're how old are you again?
26.
So as a 26-year-old, personally, I don't think there's a ton of 26-year-olds that are taking on kind of tasks like this that are really reaching for something as audacious as crazy mm-hmm. as this is. Who have you seen? Who's inspired you? Kind of in this journey and leading up to this journey, what people have inspired
yeah.
you?
Well, first of all, I would say that, you know, when you look historically, most great movements were started by really young people. All the way back to the Bible, you know, the people that were the disciples, the closest followers of Jesus were, you know, theologians would guess them to be teenagers or in their 20s at most. You know, even fast forward to a modern cultural context, people that maybe I've been influenced by. You know, guys like T.D. Jakes, who has had such a broad impact in the Christian world, even beyond just the church. You know, his first book in Breakthrough was at 27. You know, I look at, you know, even people within my own, you know, denomination or group. Most of our organization was built by men that were in their 20s.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that's a very common theme when you actually look historically. But some key names for me that just kind of stand out, I would say, you know, this is going to sound weird, but in different realms, so sports, for me, LeBron James was always inspiring. I remember seeing him at 16 years old be on the front of Sports Illustrated and handle that pressure based on the talent he had with such kind of, you know, class at the time. You know, pastors I've really looked up to, my home pastor, Dan Mitchell, who took over his church that I grew up in at 24 years old. You know, I look at, there's just, you know, other leaders. I mentioned T.D. Jakes. I mentioned, you know, my pastor here, Harold Hoffman, who became the pastor at our church here at 29 years old. And, you know, even guys like, there's a guy, Stephen Furtick in North Carolina, who started a church at 25 and now is 35, and his church has, you know, 20,000 people that attend weekly and, and hundreds of thousands that attend online. And so, you know, without belaboring the point, I think that I just try to look at things within historical context, and the truth of the matter is, energy-wise and season of life-wise, starting something at a young age is incredibly advantageous, because I believe that you have the energy, you have the time, you have the ability to take big risk and potentially fail, and that's okay. You know, you have recovery time. Yeah. You know, it's a whole different story when you got, you know, a ton of kids, you got, you know, a 501, a 401k to think about, all those kind of things. It just gets increasingly harder energy wise and time season wise to do these things. So yeah, I just think it's something that it's gone on through history, and I want to be a part of making history.
Right. So you were very involved, I'm assuming, with church growing up.
Mm-hmm.
What role did spirituality and religion play in your family when you were growing up? What was that?
Yeah.
What was that like?
I would say I'm fortunate to have a very atypical story, in that I grew up in a home with some of the best genuine Christians, I think, possible. My dad was